Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Lord, we pray that you may please give us the joy that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remind us of the great things that he has given us. And we pray that we might be people who spread this joy to others, that people might be able to see this joy in Christ that we have, and that they may want it as well. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, most years at Christmas, our family will drive up the Gold Coast to spend time with our relatives. A few years ago, when we did it, we thought we would get some Christmas presents for my cousins who live up there. And so what we did was we went to the Boxing Day sales at Myer, because we usually leave after Christmas Day so we can kind of get some bargains when we do our Christmas presents. We got my cousin a nice Calvin Klein shirt, drove it up to the coast, gave it to him. What we didn't know was that he didn't particularly want this gift. And so after we had left the Gold Coast, my brother came up to visit my cousin. He re-gifted the shirt to my brother. But it gets worse. My brother didn't want the shirt either, and so when he came back to Sydney, he thought he would give me a Christmas present, and so he gave it back to me. I was determined to make this a Christmas tradition for our family, passing this dodgy shirt around from state to state, but what actually happened was we ended up forgetting about it and then later throwing it in the bin. Christians will often speak of how God's Christmas present to us is Jesus. God loves us and gave us the gift of Jesus. He sent his Son into the world to die for our sins and bring us back to God. But I wonder whether sometimes we hear that and it kind of feels like a bit of an unwanted gift. God gave us Jesus, but it's not what we really wanted, right? I didn't ask for a Jesus. It's not something that sparks great joy in us. And maybe the longer and longer we are Christian, perhaps the less joy that it sparks. We asked the question before about your perfect afternoon. Did it include time with Jesus? Christmas can sometimes feel to us like a bit of an unwanted gift. That was certainly not the case, though, with the shepherds who first heard about the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, our passage for today. We see that they heard the message, and what they did was they dropped everything to go to Bethlehem. They saw the baby Jesus, and they rejoiced. What was the key to their joy? Well, I think that there are a few things in our passage today that I reckon can help us to break through the apathy and joylessness that we sometimes feel at Christmas. Three things we need to remember that we often forget. First thing is the announcer of joy. Second thing is the message of joy. And the third thing is the sign of joy. And so first, the announcer of joy. And we see that in verses 8 to 9. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Our world has many different voices, all of them promising some kind of joy. We have marketers and merchants promising joy through cosmetics or clothes or getting the latest gadget. We have politicians and activists promising joy and happiness through fixing the system, if only we will let them. Motivational speakers promising joy through hard work, exercise, and achievement. And all of it is so alike, isn't it? It's the same old spiel, hyping something up way beyond reality. Over-promising and under-delivering on a joy, leaving us dissatisfied until the next thing. You see, whatever it is they're promising, the messages are all the same. But what we have here in this passage is something else entirely. You see, this is a voice on a whole different level. Because none of those voices that I mentioned before can send angels to speak with people. None of those voices can light up the night sky with the glory of God. Right? That glory of God that is shining in verses 8 to 9 is because God often appeared to his people in the Old Testament as a supernatural shining light. When the prophet Ezekiel saw his vision of the Lord, he described a human-like figure with the appearance of fire and metal, brightness all around him. And Ezekiel says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When Moses spoke to God at the top of Mount Sinai and then came back down to God's people, people saw that Moses' face was shining like he had caught the radiation of the glory of God. This is God speaking to his people. And all this goes to show that God's message of joy is not one among many. It's not just another advertisement that you click skip on as soon as you can. This demands our attention and it demands our faith simply because of who it comes from. Most of us will go through a decent number of emails every day, and a lot of them are probably just a quick look at the subject and then you delete. If it's an ad or it's spam or if it's a security notification that you know you did, right? It's probably only worth about 1 second of your time. But just say you got an email and it was from the king inviting you for a function at Buckingham Palace. You'd probably be a little bit suspicious, but just say it turned out to be legit. It would be wrong, wouldn't it, to treat that communication like you would most of your other emails, right? Just to give it 1 second of your time, just to dismiss it and delete it. It's the same with God's message of joy to his people. The Christian promise of joy doesn't come from just any old human being. It comes from the God of the universe. And it should not lightly be dismissed. And so as we head up to Christmas, let us remember that it is God who announces this joy to us. And because it comes from God, the joy he can offer is different as well. Our joys are temporary, but the joy that comes from God is eternal. Our joys are always tainted by sin, but the joy that comes from God is pure and without shame. And so we don't treat God like just one message among many. It is the God of the universe who announces joy to us. The second thing that this passage shows us is the message of joy, and that is what we see in verses 10 to 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." The good news that the angel has, this message of joy, is that Jesus has just been born, and he's been born in the region, this little area around the shepherds. Jesus is going to be the king of Israel, and he will rescue his people from their sins by dying on the cross for them. This is the good news, the angel says, that Christians call the gospel, because gospel just means good news. But the particular thing that I want you to notice today about this good news, about this joy, is who this joy is directed to. You see, in verse 10, it says that this joy is directed to all the people. Normally, when a child is born, it is good news of great joy, but it's only really for that particular family and maybe for some close friends of that family. But not so with Jesus. Jesus' birth is joy for all the people, all of Israel, and it's for people at every level of Israel as well. This announcement in this passage is the first announcement of Jesus' birth to someone outside Jesus' family. And it's an interesting choice that God makes, that the first people who hear about Jesus, it's not the king, it's not the media, it's not the rich. It's a bunch of shepherds. In those days, shepherds were some of the most ordinary, everyday, salt-of-the-earth people in society. Right? Kind of like the Australian farmer or tradie, right? It was the iconic Israelite job. And so I think there's something actually really, really smart. There's a kind of divine genius in God announcing Jesus first to shepherds. Right? Giving shepherds that first sneak peek at joy.
sense.
Because in our world, we know that joy is distributed unequally, don't we? The worldly joys that we have, the joys of life and health and safety, of work and rest and friendship, not everyone gets to have them. Especially people on the fringes of society or people in countries that are not like ours. These joys are not for all the people. But the joy of Jesus is. The good news of Jesus is that anyone can be saved from their sins through faith in Jesus. Jesus does not play by the hierarchies and class structures of our world. Well, when it comes to being saved by Jesus, there's no minimum financial requirement or educational requirement or work experience qualification. Anyone, small or great, rich or poor, whatever race or job or status you have, joy in Jesus can be yours. As Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so for us, as we head up to Christmas, let's remember that joy in Jesus is not just for us, but for all the people. You know, if you can't be super happy about Jesus' gift to you, at least be happy about Jesus' gift to others. That Jesus also blesses people who really need it. And maybe that might give you a bit more joy in Jesus. The message of joy is that Jesus is the Saviour, not just of us, but of all the people. And then finally, the third thing that we see in our passage today is the sign of joy, and that is in verse 12. The angels say to the shepherds, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. In the Bible, asking for a sign from God is often not a good thing. It often reflects a lack of faith. It's like you don't trust God at his word, so you need additional proof. You're putting God to the test. Examples of this wrong asking for signs include Gideon in the book of Judges, who laid out the fleece because he was afraid of being the leader that God told him to be. Also the Pharisees who asked Jesus for a sign because they did not believe in him. But there are also times when God will just give a sign to his people. When he wants them to be sure and confident that he is telling the truth, God will just do it, and he will want his people to be assured and confident. And so Jesus will turn water into wine. He will heal a sick young man. He will raise a dead man back to life. And in Isaiah chapter 7, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And it's the same here. God just gives a sign to these shepherds. They don't ask for one, but God gives one. He will tell them where to find this baby who will be the Saviour of the world. And we're going to do the second half of this passage next week as we do Advent on peace. But suffice to say that the shepherds do trust God. They go out and seek out this baby. They find him and they tell Jesus' parents about this great announcement of joy that God has given them. The birth of Jesus is the sign that there is joy for all the people. And I wonder whether we can let that be our sign as well. You know how sometimes at Christmas you'll give the kid a big plastic toy for a present and they'll just ignore it and play with the bubble wrap? Right? It's been like that recently in our house. We've gotten all these big plastic toys for our dog, but our dog's favourite thing to play with is toilet paper and socks. Right? We have in our imaginations all sorts of things that we think will bring us joy. And they are often big and plastic. Or other things as well, like relationships, career, money and status. It's not wrong to have these things, but maybe it is if they distract us from our joy in Jesus. Because they are not God's sign of joy. Jesus is. Jesus gives that simple joy of being known and loved by God, of being forgiven of the wrong things we've done, of having that sure and certain hope of heaven, of being a member of the family of God. And so for us, as we head up to Christmas, let us remember that the sign of joy is Jesus and not anything else in the world. And that when God chooses to give us his greatest gift, he doesn't give us a thing. He gives us himself. And maybe that will give us a little bit more joy in Jesus. Because the sign of joy is the baby Jesus, born in humble circumstance, to bring us back to God. There are many things in this world where when I'm going into them, I really don't want to do them. Things like certain meetings or exercise or educational things, I don't really kind of feel like doing it. I kind of feel like I have to do it. Afterward, though, I'm able to say that I'm glad that I went. Right? These are things that I didn't think would give me joy, but they did. And Jesus might be like that for you. You know, he might not be the gift that we were exactly looking for Christmas. He might not be the thing that we think will give us joy, but he does. He might be a gift that's unwanted, but he's certainly not unwelcome. He is the gift that comes not just from people, but from God. He brings joy not just for us, but for all the people. And he is the sign of joy for us and not anything else in this world. Let us remember that as we head into Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that your Son Jesus gives. Thank you that many thousands of years ago he was born and that he was truly good news of great joy for all the people. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we remember that this Christmas, so that we may remember that this is a message that doesn't just come from human beings, but from you. And so, Lord, we pray that we may give it the respect and the faith and the time that it deserves. We pray that we might remember that Jesus is joy not just for us, but for all the people, especially those who are born in humble estate like he was. And Lord, we pray that we may be joyous that other people who do not have the same privileges as us can be right with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and have that joy. And Lord, we pray that we may trust in Jesus for our joy and not the things of this world, knowing that that is what you chose to bring joy to us. Thank you for the things that Jesus brings. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for being part of your family. Thank you that we get the sure and certain hope of eternal life in him. Lord, we thank you for Jesus this Christmas, and thank you for the joy that he brings. In his name, amen.